Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
As the Nationals are a strike away from franchise history and some World Series history. Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! And a World Series Game 7 winning Curly W is in the books!
It's not a dream! It's not a desert mirage! It's Lord Stanley! And he is coming to Washington!
Oh, great crossover.
Got
him. Just left Fournier.
That's called getting put on skates.
Down to two, down to one, and the Washington football team with the upset in Pittsburgh, handing the Steelers their first loss of the season, coming back from 14-0 down. What a win.
The show by the fans for the fans. Covering all four major sports in the District of Champions. It's the DC Crossover Podcast with your hosts, Mike Cerrone and Ben Simpson.
Hello and welcome to episode number 117 of the DC Crossover. I am Ben Simpson, that is Mike Cerrone. Glad to have you with us for yet another episode of the show. You can follow the show on Twitter at the DC Crossover for my... For the show's main account, you can follow Mike's personal account at Cerrone16. You can also follow the TikTok, DC Crossover Podcast, for clips of the show and all that good stuff. And then also check out the podcast that we produce, Bird's Eye View with Erica McCall. Episode 6 will be dropping this Wednesday. Great episode last week from her with former South Carolina basketball player and current WNBA player. A lot of great episodes coming out of Bird's Eye View, so be sure to check out that podcast as well. Big show today, as we will be doing another draft. We'll be doing the sit-down restaurants, basically chain restaurants draft. And I know you're excited for this one, Mike, because you and I are both guys that we love the chains, man. We are two chains.
We're the chain smokers.
We are the chain smokers. There you go. And we'll get into this. We're not going to name any chains right now because we're going to save them for the draft. But there is one of those things where you go, let's say you're traveling or something like that, and like, yes, look, I love tasting like local food that I've never had before, or like trying a mom and pop restaurant that you know the food's going to be good. All of that is great. But every now and then you're in the middle of nowhere and you're like, I don't really trust this restaurant. The one restaurant in town's got like 1.5 yeah. stars, and you know all this stuff. But you see a familiar sight nearby, and you're like, you know what? I'm gonna go to Old Faithful. I'm gonna go hit up this restaurant that I know I'm gonna like what I get on the menu. It's gonna be the same anywhere you go in the country. That's why the chains work sometimes, man. There's a familiarity to it.
Yeah, the chains, when it comes down to kind of looking at a row of restaurants, just like you said, if you are on like a trip, or, and I'm not saying a trip to like Ocean City or something like that where they have a million restaurants,
yeah,
there,
right.
And you just pick whichever one's your favorite. I mean, obviously if you go to Ocean City, you want to always look at the classic, the dough roller and stuff like that. And by the way, it is the dough roller. It's not dough rollers.
Okay.
No argument here. Not that you can. it's a longstanding funny thing that my buddy used to say. He's like, hey, what's that restaurant there? The Dough Roller. And I was like, wait a second. I called it Dough Rollers for 15 years. But anyways, besides the point. But it's like you don't go to a certain place like Ocean City. Ocean City. God, I'm off
you're
my
all over
game
the place
right
here right now. Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's not like you're going there. Like it's when you're going to a place that, like you said, there's not a lot of options in town, and you see a specific restaurant. Again, we're not going to mention any because we have the draft coming
up.
But it's just one of those, like you said, it's a familiarity. Like, oh, I'm going to go get this item because I've been there a million times, rather than go into this one restaurant that you have no idea. Like going back to Ocean City. My dad was talking about yesterday, Happy Father's Day, all the people out there that are
for
fathers,
sure.
Especially you, Mr. Simpson.
There we go.
We were talking about like some funny memories with dad or whatever. There was one time my dad was down at the Ocean City Car Show, and I was meeting him down there the next day, and he's like, hey, look at this place. It's, whatever the restaurant name was. I forgot. It's like some diner
right
on 50. He's like, I'm going to go stop in there for a little breakfast. Let's see what it is. So he goes in there, and all of a sudden he orders his food, and his food gets delivered. And then one of the waiters looks over at the cook, like, you know how they had like the window?
Yeah.
And he looks over and he says, hey, what happened to Benny? When's Benny coming back? He's like, oh, man, he's got the L's again. And my dad's like, what the hell are the L's? Yeah. And he's looking down at his food like, wait a second. These have L's in them. Like he's trying to like to
yeah,
pick what.
A little unnerving to hear.
Yeah.
Well, did he ever figure out what the L's were?
He didn't know what the L's were. I mean, it could be leukemia.
Well,
it could be.
Yeah, that's true. It could have been that. Does start
I don't
with
know.
Letter L.
I don't,
you're right.
I don't know what L's are, but that's the thing. That's what you get when you go to a spot that's not part
well,
of your
like,
familiar repertoire of restaurants.
Right, because like you and I doing broadcasts and things like that, sometimes you had to go to these towns that are in the middle of nowhere and you're broadcasting games and it's like late at night and you don't want to go through all the research process of trying to figure out what local restaurants are good or not. You're just going to go hit up an Old Faithful because you're like, all right, it's late at night. I know they're open. I know I can get my chicken tenders or whatever you're going to get at the time and it's going to be fine. And you could just that's what makes chains. And there's the whole aspect of, like you said, like there's the family story aspect where it's like, we all grew up going to certain chain restaurants as kids and stuff, and there were ones that probably your family favored over others and that sort of stuff. And and it kind of stays with you. It stays throughout the time. So we'll be getting into that draft in a little bit. Besides that, how has the summer been going so far for you? I mean, it's got to be nice to be able to have a little bit of a break.
Yeah, it is nice. It is nice. Been a little busy doing some different things and whatnot. Obviously, I mean, the funny thing is that, and I'll say this, it's kind of like a what grinds my gears type bit. Is now, I'm not saying because you just asked this, but I had friends that they're always jealous and everything like that. And I know your wife works in the schools, but she's different type of employee.
Yeah, she's a 12-month, so she doesn't get any summers off.
Exactly. So that's the biggest thing is when I'm looking at it, being a teacher, some people are just like, so, you get summers off. Well, we don't get paid, at least in Fairfax County,
right,
we don't get paid in the month of July. So we get off and we get paid for the month of June that we work, and then when we go back to school – because we have to go back like 2 weeks. It's like kind of looking back when, like, if you're on a football team in college, we have to report like a month before school even starts.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with us. We have 2 weeks ahead of time. We have to go back and then we get paid for August, but we don't get paid for July. And it's just like we get summers off, but we don't get paid for it. But it's just like it's a little tidbit that it was literally Sunday, like last Friday. Actually, was it last Friday? I forgot what exactly day it was. The 10th. So maybe like 10 days ago. So literally it was Friday. We get out of school. Sunday, a buddy of mine texts me and says, so what you been doing on summer vacation?
Right.
I said, bro, it's been 48 hours. Like, what do you want me to do? Fly to Hawaii? Like, I don't know what you want me to. And then it's like they always say, like, for instance, when they're going to a bar or something like that, and I'm like, yeah, I don't really want to go right now. Well, what else you got to do? You're on summer break. Well, I don't care. Like,
it just
tilts me to no end because I don't like it when people ask you what your schedule is. And then when you say, like, I'm just not really feeling it or I'm not trying to go today or whatever, they're like, what else you got to do? It's like, My buddies do that all the time, and it's like, because I don't want to drive out to Ashburn again, as I talked to you about it before,
yeah,
and go to Old Ox Brewery, which I think is a Nubs Brewery, which I didn't
of all
say
the breweries
last time
in this area, that's definitely not at the top.
Oh, yeah. It's just funny because I just don't like it when people sit there and they just grill you about your schedule.
Yeah,
it's
right,
like,
right.
Don't ask me, oh, well, what else you got to do? What do you got to do?
Yeah.
I've asked you, last three times I've asked you to go play golf. You can't do it. Like it's just, oh man, I'm on edge.
It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's people don't fully understand it. And, you know, obviously it is a great perk to have being a teacher and having
that time, but
that doesn't mean you're just like sitting around twiddling your thumbs waiting for somebody to make plans with you, you know, like you're doing your own thing and that sort of stuff. And, no, I totally get that. And, you know, but it's gotta be nice. It's gotta be nice. You can rest a little bit, relax a little bit before heading into another crazy year, especially with the golf stuff now too. So yeah, it's good. And now it's time for you to just get ripped, Mike. This is your time. You just gotta be doing push-ups all morning long, all afternoon long. You might have to pull some two-a-days. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
you might have to do.
I honestly might have to do that because so obviously, like I said before, it's not really a summer break, but because people, like a lot of teachers, have to go work,
right?
And
right.
My job that I had last year, they cut my position. So I was like, okay, great. Thanks for letting me know literally 2 months before school ends. And it's hard to get positions for like 2.5 months or 2 months or whatever it is that you need it for. So I'm doing this thing with my buddy, and luckily it's a kind of a more of an online situation where I'm selling a lot of his stuff and whatnot
right.
for his company and whatnot. So I might have to do some 2 days, man. The problem is I need to get up. I need to get up, and I need to go to bed earlier.
Yeah.
Last night I was like literally playing some Xbox, and then all of a sudden I was on TikTok.
Oh no! Well, how late? Let me guess. Let me guess.
Okay, guess it up.
All right, because I know you're a night owl, man. And I mean,
oh yeah,
I'm falling asleep before 10:30 every night for sure. My guess is last night. And I'm gonna let me get the drum roll going here because I have a prediction here.
A little drummer
last
boy
night,
there.
Michael Cerrone went to bed at 2:45 in the morning.
Actually, that's very close. It's in between 2 and 3 because I actually went to bed at 2 and then I fell asleep around 3.
Yeah, I knew it. man, that is unbelievable because I was getting up a couple hours after that. So that's that is a while to think about. Well,
oh yeah,
that's where it starts. Get some rest. Get up. You know, it's not even like you have to get up that early to go work out. You know, get up at like 8 o'clock. You'll figure it out, man. Next time I see you, you're gonna be ripped to shreds. You're gonna be Hemsworth.
I'm hoping I'm not ripping the shirts.
Well, they
are big.
Oh, trust me. Some of mine. It's like, did this shrink? No, you just grew. We'll hit up the rewind machine. Not a whole lot to talk about in this one because I didn't even want to bother because the Nats have been so bad. I'm not gonna give you a game by game breakdown. Just know this: they lost every single game this past week. Except for Sunday. Now, there was the Ryan Zimmerman ceremony, which I did watch that. That was really cool, the jersey retirement stuff. I'll get to that in a moment after the rewind. But the one game, again, the Nats did win once. And then DC United did play this weekend. Unfortunately, lost again. They've been terrible now. 0-3-2 in their last 5 league matches. A 1-0 loss to Chicago. Now their record at 4-2-8. And things have just not been going well at all for DC United. But that's mainly it for the rewind. Not a lot to talk about on the DC sports scene. But I just wanted to, before we get into our draft, I wanted to briefly.
The Washington Nationals.
And next week we'll be doing some post-draft reaction. Because, of course, the draft is this week, NBA draft. So we will be kind of talking about that next week. But in the baseball front, I just wanted to just briefly kind of reminisce a little bit. Because they had the Ryan Zimmerman jersey retirement ceremony. They brought a lot of old players back for the ceremony. There were some surprises. There's some players where I was like, oh, that's interesting that they brought him back. Some of the guys that immediately come to mind, Jason Worth was there. Ian Desmond was there. Mm-hmm. Danny Espinosa was there. He was like wearing a cowboy hat and like a big mustache. Ian Desmond had like a toothpick in his mouth while he's like walking out. It's like, who are you? They had, there was like, I think like was Nick Johnson might have been there.
No, I don't think Nick Johnson was there because there was, I remember that you, when we saw the list, there was like three or four guys that were there from like 2007 to 2009.
Well, LaRoche was there for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Adam Lind, I think, was there.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, it was just wild to see some of these guys that, you know, it's like, when was the last time you thought about Danny Espinosa? You know, like some of these guys that, and one of the things you forget sometimes is, you know, not only like how bad the Nats used to be, but how like Ryan Zimmerman did at one point. He was like the only good player on the Nats. Like he was like the only guy really that was like making all-star teams, and he was playing third base back then and like, you know, was making an impact. It was like him and then David Wright on the Mets. And it was like those were the two like best third basemen in the National League, kind of in the same division. But it was just kind of a cool look back at his legacy. I mean, obviously you and I have clowned on him in his late years with the Nats because it was like, you know, the guy was showing up and hitting like .120 and we were supposed to be worshiping him. But, you know, he did have a big moment in the World Series. He did have that home run. He did have the broken bat base hit in the wild card game. So he had some good moments in 2019, but those previous couple seasons were not that great. But those like, you know, 2000... you know, 9, 10, 11, like those types of years, Ryan Zimmerman was, you know, a great player. So it was just kind of wild to look back at that, you know?
Right, and I know I am not a huge Ryan Zimmerman guy. You know, I have to give him his props where they're due. He did have, you know, 4 or 5 really good seasons. Now, I wouldn't go as far as saying he's a great player because, you know, yeah, okay, a lot of guys have his type of stats when they end his career or end their careers. But at the same time, you're looking at his legacy on this town as a new baseball franchise and having them move here from Montreal. And then he was the first draft pick, the first big name player that we had. And, you know, the biggest thing about his legacy here was that, you know, everyone called him Mr. Walk-Off because he got some stuff in RFK and different things like that, and then some in Nats Park. I think he might have walked off the very first game in Nats Park, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just remembering that. But you're just looking at him being with this team for the longevity of the franchise's existence up until he retired last year. So I just think that when you're looking at Ryan Zimmerman's whole entire body of work, It's impressive to see him stay with this team for that long, stay with this team until they won their first World Series, impact that team that won the World Series, and just in general, be with this team and support this town in the way he has off the field as well.
Right.
Obviously, when you're coming off the highway, you can see you know, Ryan Zimmerman Park or whatever it's called right there on the corner and whatnot. But have to give him props, though. Have to give him props. No doubt about it.
No, you're right. I mean, he's not a Hall of Famer. Like, we're not thinking that he is. He would not be inducted in the Hall of Fame. But as far as DC Sports, you know, if you had a DC Sports Hall of Fame, I think Zimmerman would have to be thrown in there just because of, like you said, the longevity. And he was a 2-time All-Star. He did get some MVP votes. He finished 2nd in Rookie of the Year in 2006. You know, he had some really solid years. That 2017 year where he was 32 and made the All-Star team and just went bonkers that year. He batted .303 and like you were, and he hit 36 bombs and it was like, what the heck is going on? He hadn't hit 36 bombs combined with the three previous seasons. Like and then of course he followed that up with a clunker of a year, but you know, there were definitely some moments, and I think the big thing with Zim was that he was like Old Faithful, you know, like he was always there. Like, yeah, he did run into some injuries later in his career, and then you did have, you know, some elbow issues kind of in the middle of his career when he switched over from third to first because he just couldn't throw anymore. But at the end of the day, he is like, I don't know when we talk about like the faces of the Washington Nationals, like if there was a Mount Rushmore. You know, like Strasburg's on there, Scherzer's probably on there, and then I feel like Zimmerman probably has to have one of the four spots just because he's, you know, he was around so long and he's like Mr. National and all that sort of stuff. I don't know who, and then like the fourth spot, it's kind of up for grabs. I mean, Juan Soto is probably in the mix. You know, heck, you could put Jason Worth in the mix. He was here for 7 years or whatever. Harper, it was such a cup of coffee that I don't know if you could really put him in there. But I feel like Zimmerman's got to be on the Mount Rushmore.
When you're talking about the Washington Nationals and their Mount Rushmore, definitely. When you're talking about overall DC athletes, I would not put him up there. But looking just at the Nats.
Oh, right. Yeah, if it was like the top four DC athletes, yeah, you're right. I wouldn't put him on there either.
Right.
But yeah, just Nats specific.
I think you're looking at has to be Scherzer, I think, number one, just because of his durability for the most part. And also
Cy
for...
Youngs. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And Strasburg, you could put him on there.
World Series MVP, I think he earns a spot there.
Right.
Yeah,
right. I think, lately, obviously not. When you're looking at, I think overall, like, you know, just the hype and him staying here, you know, getting that deal and whatnot, and then obviously his impact and everyone, you know, and what also pisses me off is that some people sit there and say like, oh, Strasburg, man, he sucks, man. Dude, we won a World Series mainly because of him.
Right.
And that's the biggest thing. And I'm not going to get into that right now. It's a whole other topic.
It sucks
another day.
Now, but yeah.
But yeah, right. Yeah. It's like, seriously. But it's like the biggest thing about it is when you're looking at Ryan Zimmerman, I think for the Nats, yes. Even though the Nats, you know, they've been around for a cup of coffee for the most part.
Sure.
Only been here for about 17 years, which I say cup of coffee, but when you're looking at teams like the Cubs and the Red Sox and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
They've had legends on their teams. But you're looking at this team and saying that Juan Soto, if he stays here, you know, jury's still out, then he'll probably take one of those spots because he's already getting MVP votes.
Yeah, if you're here
past
your rookie deal, I think you could earn a spot there. Like, that's why Harper, I wouldn't necessarily put him on there because he didn't stay past his rookie deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there have been great players. I mean, Leivon Hernandez can be possibly thrown in there.
Sure, yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that he's a world beater or anything like that.
But he was a big part of this team for for many years. Yeah,
right. So it's hard to really depict it because, like you said, you know, what are the stipulations when it comes down to it? Is Harper even considered in there? You know, and it's just you're looking at a lot of these different things, and right now I would have to put him on there. And like I said, I give him a lot of grief, and I get him a lot of crap every single time I talk about him and whatnot. I feel like I'm like just spitting on his legacy half the time. Right. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I have my reasons for that, but I also understand that he is someone that you should look at as somebody that has made a really big impact on the city. And not only the city, the part of the city, which is the team.
Yeah, and he's got the Zim, you know, Zim Foundation and all that sort of stuff. I mean, with Zimmerman, it was that last 4 years or so where besides 2017, where he was an all-star, you know, the year before he was an all-star, he batted .218, you know, and then the year after that, in the COVID year, he was like a .260 hitter, then like a .250 hitter. 2021, he was a .243 hitter. So, like, you know, it was just like he was just done. You know, he was kind of toast at that point. The years before that, I mean, consistently up through like 2014, he was batting like .280, .290, .307, .290. I mean, like he had some solid stretches that weren't all-star worthy years, but were solid years. I mean, he was a solid role player on the team, one of the better, kind of in the better half of the team. So, you know, shout out to Zim. We'll see. I mean, there were rumors of him joining the broadcast booth in the future. I know he hopped on a game earlier this year and sat in the booth and did a pretty good job. The reviews were pretty solid of him in the booth. So I'm interested to see if he becomes like a color guy at some point. I mean, Franzen's there now. I don't see Kevin Franzen being like the mainstay for the next 10 years being the color commentator. I see Franzen as kind of a gap guy that like he's going to fill in, and he's doing a great job. I think he'll fill in till they bring in a guy like Zimmerman who's like, all right, this is the legacy. This is Mr. National. He's now our color guy for the broadcast for the future. You know, that's my two cents on it.
You know, and also I want to take note really fast is that, so I remember specifically the World Series year when, you know, me, like I said before, and we've talked about it multiple times on the show, that literally me and you were probably, I think, even from the NLCS on, every single game we were texting each other.
Right.
And see who could text each other fastest. Like what number, how many outs were left.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was sitting right next to me, you know, watching the game, stuff like that. And when I saw her yesterday for Father's Day, you know, I was talking about the Nats briefly to her, and she's like, you know, The Nats have changed. She was like so somber when she was saying everything, and she's a huge Nats fan.
Yeah.
And that's the problem is like when you look at the World Series year, when you look at the other years, you know, a Juan Soto, he's the new up and coming guy. All of a sudden he's out there, sliding his feet and doing different, like the Soto shuffle and everything like that. But now it's like, oh, are they going to sell the team? Oh, are they going to pay this guy? Are they going to pay the? It's just like my mom was saying, and I just had to note that real quick because she's a huge Nats fan, but she just hates how the team is.
I think
is
a
like
lot of people feel the
right
same.
Now. It's crazy.
I think a lot of people feel the same. I think everything is very different. That 2019 year was so obviously the beginning wasn't fun when they were started off terrible, but when they started getting on a roll, there were so many memorable moments, so many memorable players on that team. It feels like. I mean, you think about those lineups with Trey Turner and Anthony Rendon and like all these guys, and you're just like, man, we have fallen quite far from those days. I mean, that's what I said. Look at this past week. They lost every single game except for Sunday. Yeah, they're just not winning baseball games, and it hasn't been that much fun. But, again, shout out to Ryan Zimmerman. Let's move into the meat of the program, and that is your favorite segment here, the off-season drafts. We will be drafting sit-down chain restaurants today. Again, the stipulation is, you know, no fast food and things, excuse me, things of that nature. You know, we're not talking McDonald's or Wendy's, any of those places. We're talking your classic sit-downs. And then also these do have to be chains. They can't be like, you know, for example, like Woo Boy. We love Woo Boy here in Herndon. They got two locations. That's not a chain. You need more than two locations to be an official chain. And it's going to be the ones you've heard of, and you'll hear, you know, you guys will be familiar with this. And the likelihood is, obviously this is a DC-centric podcast, but likelihood is wherever you are listening, one of these chains is probably not that far from you. So I thought about this since I went first last draft. I will cede the first overall pick to you, Mr. Cerrone. I will let you pick first, and I think we can remember that we're doing this, and then in the future we'll just continue to go back and forth because the numbers bit, you know, while I would never cheat or anything like that, it is kind of like, all right, guess one or two, you have a 50% shot, and if I keep getting like the number one pick, then it starts looking
rigged. We could do a spinner.
I'm just gonna let you go number one overall here. Okay. I'll let you go number one overall.
I think you just want to see what I pick first. So
I am very
sets
intrigued.
The tone.
I'm very intrigued. So this is the sit down chain restaurant draft. Michael Cerrone, you are on the clock.
So there are a lot of chains out there that I was thinking about, and a lot of chains that, you know, and like you mentioned before, this is a sit-down chain restaurant draft to the point where we're not, I mean, and I texted you about this, you know, talking about, you know, chains that you can afford. I'm not talking about you have to be Mark Cuban to
go
to these chains.
Like Ruth Chris and things like that. It's like those are obviously chains and they're great restaurants, but like, they're not really ones you go to very often. Like those are like specialty nights that you go to, you know, those types of places. Yeah.
We're talking about the chains and we're not talking about chain fast food places. These are sit down restaurants. And I'm not talking about Five Guys either. I don't think Five Guys is a sit down restaurant.
Yeah, no, I'm not putting them on my list. No.
I'm talking about, you know, and I think we're talking about,
like, Five Guys is fast casual. This is not fast casual. This is sit down chains. Yeah.
I think it has to be the restaurants that are, you go to, like you said earlier, you take your family there on a typical Tuesday night.
Right.
You're like, hey, we got to get out, man. I've had a terrible day. My kid just got suspended.
Yep. And I'm punching his teacher. Punch the teacher, bit the principal. Not a great day.
That's not a great day at all. That's a really rough one. Alrighty. So this first pick is setting the tone, and it's kind of difficult because I have two in mind that I really want to go to, but I'm going to try to swerve, you know, through back and forth, kind of like a snake, and try to go different type of cuisines. So my first overall pick in the sit down chains draft is Red Robin.
Okay.
Red Robin. Now it goes along with my mom's name. My mom's name is Robin. That's not why I picked it, but it's just nice because they do have those perks where it's called bottomless fries. They got those steak fries. That's a little bit of a swerve, so it's not like the stupid little skinny fries sometimes you see on some other types of restaurants. But you got good burgers. You got some shakes. You got some nice things going on that menu. And just in general, Red Robin is a solid food place to go take your family to. It's affordable. It's got, like I said, the deal of the century, which is bottomless fries. They got that nice seasoning. Overall, nice pick at number one, in my opinion.
It is a nice pick. I will say Red Robin is the site of...
Not even on your list.
No, they were on the list, but Red Robin is the site of my worst restaurant experience I've ever had, where the waiter quit in the middle of service with us, where they... like for they I so it was over in Loudoun somewhere, and we had and you know we ordered like regular stuff. They kept bringing us the things that we didn't order. Like they kept bringing us food that we didn't order, and I had to keep being like, no, we didn't order that. We ordered this, and like they were like, oh, sorry, and they like kept going back and forth, and like kept forgetting things, and like they were taking forever to do stuff. And then at one point, the manager walks over and look like. And I think you're probably similar to me where, like, it takes a lot for me to actually complain at a restaurant because it's like,
right,
look,
right.
Like, I get it. You're probably making $5 an hour here plus tips. Like, you don't want this job. Like, you don't care. Give a crap. Like, I know, you know, and I'm not trying to make your life that much more difficult because you forgot to get my Sprite or whatever. It's like, you know, you'll eventually come back and I'll ask for it, blah, blah, blah. I'm not one to complain. The manager comes around and I, for the first time, I was like, hey, look, like, I don't mean to be that guy, but like this waiter is like forgetting everything. Like they're not, but like we've been waiting here for 45 minutes or whatever. Like we haven't been getting our drinks, like blah, blah, blah. And the waiters, right. The manager's like, oh my God, like I'm so sorry. And we weren't the only ones experiencing this because it was one of those experiences where people at the tables around us, we're all kind of looking at each other like, is this waiter serious? Like we were all having a similar experience. And then the manager comes back with the waiter to our table. And the manager's like, please apologize to these people. And the waiter's like, kind of like mumbling, just be like, yeah, I'm sorry about this. And we're just like, I'm like, oh my God, what is happening? Like, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Whatever. Like, what am I supposed to say here? Because we still haven't even gotten our dinner yet. And then like, the person's like, I'm just having a bad day. And like the manager's like, just quiet. Don't worry about it. And they're like, I'm having a bad day and I'm going to go home. And then they just walked out the front door, and that was my Red Robin experience. It was
an idiot sandwich.
It was an idiot sandwich. They were unbelievably bad. I think we got the whole meal comped, like which was great. Like
they should.
Yeah, it was just one of the strange experiences. Red Robin is now known as Red Robin Gourmet Burgers and Brews. By the way, that's their official name now.
Nice.
Founded in 1969 in Seattle, Washington. And yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I think Red Robin is the type of place where if you have little kids and you're not trying to go somewhere where you're going to be worried about them disturbing other customers, you go to Red Robin because everyone's disturbing other customers at Red Robin. There's kids hanging from the rafters there. There's kids like, you know, like using the ceiling as monkey bars, going over the tables. It's a chaotic atmosphere. And you'll never be worried about how your kids are acting because other kids are definitely acting worse. And the food isn't that bad. Bottomless fries, right, at Red Robin, isn't it?
I feel like they have bottomless steak fries.
The steak, and they have the garlic parm fries, I think, that are really good there. Yeah, so Red Robin has its nice moments. So I don't mind the pick at all. All right.
Thanks.
Yeah, sorry, long story there. All right, Red Robin, great pick. So I did not have Red Robin as like my 1-1. So I think
I didn't either, honestly. I didn't really have a ranking. I just picked.
Right. But I mean, I feel like Red Robin should be drafted in this draft, so I don't think it's a bad pick. I just don't know where they would go. I think I know where I'm going to go here.
Okay.
Now, some people may scoff at this, but I'll tell you, it's one of those old faithfuls. I'm going Olive Garden. Now, look.
Okay.
Am I sitting here trying to say that Olive Garden is, you know, the most authentic Italian experience? Of course I am, because it is. It's delicious. the breadsticks are just like crack. They're covered in crack dust or something because not even that great, but you just keep eating them. You keep wanting to eat them. The best is if you get some sort of pasta with sauce, you have the breadsticks and you dip those in the sauce while you eat them.
Right.
Look, with pasta, you can't really screw up a good dish of pasta for the most part. And Red Robin, or not Red Robin, Olive Garden, you know, you're going to get your fettuccine, you're going to get your spaghetti, you're going to get whatever the usual that you like in the pasta realm, and it's going to be good. It's going to be fine. It's going to do the job. You're going to get that little salad with just a bunch of big Parmesan all over it, and that's really, and ranch and all that stuff. Like, you're eating a salad, but you're basically eating cheese and ranch. Olive Garden does the job for me. And it's cheap. It's not that expensive, too. So I'm going Olive Garden with my pick.
Olive Garden is a great option because, like you said, you got the breadsticks. But the best thing you got to do is get the chicken gnocchi soup. And then what you do is you dip the bread in that.
I like that. Okay.
And basically, it just prolongs the experience because you're just dipping free bread that they keep bringing to you, the breadsticks, into the soup. And the soup just is like, I mean, it barely goes down. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, my entree's here. I got to down this soup really quick. And it's just, it's a strategy.
And the key is, if you don't finish your meal, you got to ask for some extra breadsticks to go. You got to get some extra breadsticks. You got to bring those suckers home for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All righty. So going on to pick number two.
All right.
I'm, you know what? This should have probably been my first overall pick because it's so damn good.
Ooh.
The main thing about this restaurant is that there are so many options you can get to mix and match and different things of that nature to the point where you're sitting there and wondering what you came there for, because the sole fact that when you go to a restaurant, usually you're like, man, I can't wait to get this. But when you go to this particular restaurant, there's a lot of options to get. My pick is in. So the pick of number two, I was going to say the pick of the day, but it's not really the pick of the day. The pick at number two for my team is Texas Roadhouse.
Okay. This is a great pick.
Texas Roadhouse. I love Texas Roadhouse mainly for the sole fact that I usually know what I'm going to get, but sometimes I swerve and I get something different because I usually go for the sirloin and barbecue chicken, because they usually have like a big, you know, softball slab of chicken on there, and they slather it in barbecue sauce. Then you get the sirloin, and you get the mashed potatoes, and I get the rice as well. Basically everything that makes me fat, and it's great because literally it's so much food, and you're sitting there and chowing down. Not to mention they got some nice raw rolls.
Oh, that's
the cinnamon
thing.
Butter.
That's all you have to say. Man. The rolls, you know, you're in the right place when the rolls are top-notch quality. And Texas Roadhouse, I'd have to put their rolls up there against
cinnamon butter, yep.
Against, you know, the cheddar biscuits whatever, Red Lobster, you know, those other ones. I'm telling you, Texas Roadhouse, best rolls in the biz.
And I do like how they always sit there and they're like, hey, would you like to choose your steak today? And I'm like, nope, just take me in my seat. The faster I get to my seat, the faster I get those rolls.
Yeah, 100%. Texas Roadhouse is a great pick because, look, you can get, it's not overly expensive, but you can still get a good steak. Like, it's not like, okay, it's not a, you know, a five-star steakhouse in Manhattan or whatever, but
sure.
The steak tastes great. It's not a bad steak. You get a bunch of those sides, like you said. They got everything under the plant, like everything that you would love to eat. You can get a Texas Roadhouse, not spend that
shrimp
much.
Shrimp is good, too,
get the, you know, yeah, throw a little shrimp on top of your sirloin or whatever, like, it's a solid choice. This was definitely going to be, I don't know if I was going to pick this next, but I would have picked this at some point if you hadn't gotten it. So that's a great pick.
You know, not everybody can like things.
Texas Roadhouse is a great pick. And I love a good steakhouse. American Steakhouse, it's headquarters in Louisville. That's where it got, I guess it got started. Founded in 1993.
Not to mention, it's a great soundtrack. They always have great music inside.
Yeah,
there.
The Western theme in there. It's great.
Western theme.
It is a little Western theme.
Got some cacti in there.
All right, since you went Texas Roadhouse, I know exactly where I'm going next. I am going, and I just had this back in February for Valentine's Day. I'm going Outback Steakhouse.
Right. I just had it last week.
Yeah, I'd say Outback is one of my favorites. There's a lot to love. Obviously, it all starts with a Bloomin' Onion. You got to get a Bloomin' Onion if you go. Even if you're not an onion guy. And look, I'm not a giant onion guy.
I hate onions.
I know.
I love Bloomin'.
But the Bloomin' Onion, there's something different about it. It's different. And you got the dipping sauce in there. You start your meal with that. They also have good bread. They've got they have some honey butter and things like that they use with their bread. And then when it comes to food itself, it's solid. I mean, it's steak and potatoes and fries and all that sort of stuff. Like, you're going to be getting good. And then I love they have the Australian beer, Foster's, which is great beer. And you get, you know, they give you some tall glasses there at Outback Steakhouse for your beers, for sure.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. The best beer deal they got there is, like, the Bloomin' Ale or something like that.
Right.
And it's literally $5 for, like, and dude, I was, I mean, now I can slug a beer back. Don't get me wrong. But this damn thing must have been 30 ounces.
Yeah.
And it was for $5. I was like, man, you guys are just giving this away now. I mean, it was pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
I love Outback, man. I love Outback. They do the job, man. Similar to what you said earlier, where, like, you can mix and match. You know, you can get a steak and, like, a half lobster, or steak and shrimp, or, like, you know, all this different sort of stuff you can kind of mix around. Outback Steakhouse does the job. For me, that is my pick. Fourth overall.
Right. Alrighty. So just looking at this draft, by the way, for people who might not be listening to this on the East Coast, we're on the East Coast. We're in D.C., obviously.
Right.
D.C. crossover. But obviously there's some other restaurants that are similar to the next restaurant I'm about to get.
Okay.
That are in the same realm, but are more so, Midwest or West Coast or whatever you want to say. My next restaurant is Hooters. Now, I'm not going to lie. Hooters, everyone says...
I'll give you two reasons why you love Hooters. No.
Yeah, there you go. The best quote ever was was he was going to be my uncle. He was soon to be uncle at the time. Now he is my uncle. He was like, we were talking about Hooters and we were just joking around one Christmas. I don't know why it came up on Christmas. But you're not talking about Hooters on Christmas.
Right. Yeah, it's a classic Christmas.
But he was like, guys, you don't go for the chicken. You go for the wings. You go for the breasts. And I'm like,
that's an old man joke for sure.
Yeah. It was definitely a dad joke. So, Hooters, honestly, when you're looking at Hooters, it's, obviously they got pretty women there. Let's be honest here. Sure. The wings are pretty damn good though.
The
wings
are very good.
And I've gone with a few buddies of mine, different things like that. You go there for the wings, and then all of a sudden when you sit there and you're like, man, these are actually pretty good, and then you look at the check and it's like, all right, cool. It's not that expensive.
Right, right.
You get some pitchers of beer and stuff like that, and it's right there on 50. The one on 50, obviously, is the classic one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that bad. It's pretty easy to get to, and also it's affordable. So I'm going to say Hooters, nice, easy pick. I think they're better than B-Dubs because I think B-Dubs is sometimes trash.
I think you're
Buffalo,
right there.
Buffalo Wing Factory is not a chain right now.
Right. No, I think you're right there. And I think that's the big thing with Hooters. And like you said, the big joke is like I always heard for years, oh, their wings are so good. Like, and it was kind of talked about like a joke. But honestly,
right.
They're
getting a lot better.
Like 3 or 4 years ago, I started every now and then I'd order takeout wings from Hooters or something like that. And just loved it, man. Like their wing and great variety of sauces and things like that. And they do a great job. Because sometimes some restaurants, when they do wings, you're getting these tiny little puny, there's nothing on there or it's really rubbery or things like that. But Hooters does the job. And the boneless wings are great there too. So
not a boneless guy. I like the
for sure. But Hooters definitely does the job. The funny thing was I didn't even have Hooters on my list, but I can't argue with the pick at all because I love Hooters. So I think it's a solid pick. All right, we're moving along here. Again, Mike so far has picked Red Robin, Texas Roadhouse, and Hooters. I have Olive Garden and Outback, and I have my next pick teed up here. Morty at the podium with the envelope. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think the league got mad at the Lions for the draft because they were they went too quick or something like that. Like they were already ready to make their pick so fast that I think the league was you got to chill out. You're moving too fast. That's me right now because I'm going with Cracker Barrel. I'm going with Cracker Barrel.
Man, that was my next one.
Cracker Barrel is, we're talking about family stuff.
Right.
Cracker Barrel is one of the best kind of family experiences at a restaurant because it all starts with the big old rocking chairs out front. Let's say you're waiting for your aunt and uncle to show up because they aren't there yet for the reservation. You're sitting in that rocking chair that out in front. There's the big checkers board. They have the giant checkers pieces. You can be playing with that.
Country store.
Or you can be in the country store inside checking out all the crazy country stuff they got in there. They got stuff where you're like, where did you even know? Who's buying this stuff? They've got DVDs from 1995 for sale. it's all this different stuff, and you can just lose yourself in those aisles and looking at all the Cracker Barrel stuff. And then you get to the actual restaurant part, and the food's great. I mean, it's country food. If you're there for breakfast, you get some awesome, awesome old school Southern breakfast. And you go there for dinner, you still can get some really solid meals too. I'm a big breakfast guy at Cracker Barrel. I think you just can't go wrong with Cracker Barrel, man. I think it's a great experience.
It's a great experience, but I think the biggest thing about Cracker Barrel, because like I said, this is my next pick. I should have gone with this over Hooters, but whatever. Cracker Barrel, the best thing you can get there, I think, obviously besides the breakfast, is a country fried steak.
Yeah,
you can't go wrong.
I've gotten
with
the country fried steak. That's exactly what I get there. So that's
it's so good. It's so good. I can't lie.
No, 100%. Man, we're cruising to this one, and I don't think we've made a bad pick yet.
I don't think so.
This is where it might get interesting, though. 4 and 5.
This is usually when it gets interesting for us.
Yes. I'm interested to hear where you go here.
Okay. So I have 3 more on my list.
All right.
The main thing about this pick is that you can fight against it. I will say that. You can fight against it.
I'm waiting.
But at the same time, this pick is something that is near and dear to my heart. So I'm going to go with Famous Dave's. Now, Famous Dave's.
There's no argument here, buddy. Famous Dave's. Well, that used to be my birthday restaurant every year for years. I would say we're going to Famous Dave's because it was my birthday.
Well, the problem is Famous Dave's, there's a few locations going out of business.
Which kind of sucks. I get that, but that's okay. We're not disqualifying that.
So Famous Dave's, but I had to look it up because I was like making sure they're still in business. So Famous Dave's, a buddy of mine, here's a little quick story. A buddy of mine used to work to go at the one in Sterling.
Yep, over that's the classic authority. One, man.
Yep, classic one. And he used to work there, and every single time after he got off of work, he would come over to my buddy's house, and we would say, hey, dude, pick us up some of this. We'll give you some cash.
Right.
He always got 50% off. So I always get that. I think it's called the All-American Burger that had brisket, barbecue sauce, cheese, bacon. Oh, man. I haven't eaten all day. I'm hungry as hell right now. So that's the biggest thing is literally he had this burger that came in. And whenever I saw it, and then I think they had the steak fries that had like little ribs in them or something like that.
Yeah, they had great fries.
Oh, it was great. And it was so good. Then you get the all-American platter or whatever that my family used to get. Oh, man, that stuff
Their
was
wings
so...
were pretty good, too. I used to get those. And, right. You know, they had the jalapeno mac and cheese. Like, they had, Famous Dave's. And they had some good, like, cornbread muffins and things like that. No, this is a great pick. I understand that it's tough because there aren't that many locations left, and I really wish there were because, man. But we still get, and Abby has, there's like it's called like the sassy salad or whatever there. Like, Abby loves that one. We still get Famous Dave's every now and then because there's one in Fairfax, I think. So that's usually the one we order it from Grubhub or whatever. No, Famous Dave's is a solid pick. All right. So I'm going with one.
Getting down to nitty gritty.
I'm going with one here that I think is partly, the food is one aspect of it. The experience is another. And that is Waffle House.
Okay.
Waffle House. Now look.
Never been there.
Okay. So you know, you can't necessarily argue against it. But the people at home will kind of have their own experiences. And look, Waffle House is one of those places where it's not really known for, it's like you don't go to Waffle House for like the greatest food in the world. You go to Waffle House because it's super cheap, because it's open 24/7. Waffle House is specifically the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, uses a Waffle House index to determine the severity of a disaster. Basically, if Waffle House is like, they measure like disasters based around like if Waffle House is still open and things like that because the weather's not as that bad or something. It's something crazy, but Waffle House, everyone's got a Waffle House story because you go there drunk. The employees that work there are always like doing crazy stuff. It's a wild place, but I'll tell you, Waffle House, there's no experience like it. And there's nothing better than getting a waffle at like 4 a.m. after a night out. Waffle House is my pick. Well, I know you haven't been there. I think a lot of people have and can relate to that. So we'll just
trust me. I've heard about it before.
You'd
I've
like
heard
it.
A lot of
You'd
craziness
like
goes on at Waffle House too. But you know what? You just talking right there and a few things that you said made me swerve on my last pick.
All right, let's hear it.
Swerve. So I was thinking of breakfast, and I was like, you know what? I got to think of something else because I was going to go with one of the classics. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to get killed for this because I think the majority are going to go for Waffle House over this pick. But now I'm changing it up. I'm going with the classic Silver Diner. Silver Diner.
This is an interesting pick.
Is a wild card pick because when you're looking at Silver Diner, you can get out of there, have some coffee, I did go there a handful of days ago. But the thing about Silver Diner is you can get out of there with a cup of coffee or a drink or whatever you want and a nice big meal for the most part for like $36.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was awesome. Great service. It came out in 2 freaking seconds and it was just amazing. So Silver Diner, now it's not, I don't know if it's all around the country or anything like that, but I know it's a big chain here. I mean, at least there were a couple more locations. I think there was the Amphora Diner in Herndon. Was that a Silver Diner?
No, so those are separate things. So Amphora is still in Herndon, but yeah, those are separate things.
Okay, because I know they got the.
I used
one
to always get
them
confused, honestly.
Right. Well, I thought it was a Silver Diner, but anyways. So I know they got the Silver Diner in Herndon. They got a Silver Diner, or maybe it's in Reston. I don't know exactly what it's called, but there's a Silver Diner in Fair Oaks. So they're around here. But Silver Diner, that's like a wild card. That's like a throwing a dart at a dartboard and hopefully it sticks.
This is an interesting pick. I mean, I do like Silver Diner. We actually still order from Silver Diner all the time. And Silver Diner is another great like breakfast type place. I mean, you can definitely on the weekends, like Saturday and Sunday mornings, it's always going to be packed. But they do a nice job. Silver Diner also they've got the jukeboxes at your table. Where you can put a quarter in and play any song that's in the jukebox, which is kind of a neat touch because you just don't, I mean, that's not something that exists much anymore. Their milkshakes, they do the great bit where you get not only the milkshake, but then they give you the cup that they like made the milkshake with. So you basically have a milkshake and a half. And that is always the best. Now the only bad part of that was like back in the day, if I ever went with my family, like, you know, my parents would like be like, well, we're going to take the half, like we're going to have your cup, and I'd be pissed about it.
I would be too.
But I will say, yeah, Silver Diner, it's a classic. It's a classic staple, especially in this area. They do a great job. So I'm not arguing against it. I think with this
fifth round pick.
With this fifth pick, I mean, it's really tough. I'll be honest. Like, I mean, I've been looking at my list and I just don't necessarily feel super strong about any of these. So I don't know if my pick will beat Silver Diner there. But we'll let the people decide. All right, last pick of the draft. My final pick, I'm going specifically for the nostalgia factor here. The food's fine, but nostalgia, just because there were so many dinners at this place as a family and that sort of stuff, I'm going TGI Fridays.
Okay.
Even specifically for me, it's like, yeah, my family, like sometimes there were nights where you didn't really know where you were going to go. And it was like, let's just go to TGI Fridays because everyone's going to be able to find something on that menu they're going to like. You know, it's the TGI Fridays, Chili's, Applebee's, they all kind of are similar in that world. So I didn't necessarily have one that stood out amongst those three. I mean, there was that TGI Fridays over in Worldgate. I think it's still over there in Herndon. I mean, we went to that so many times growing up. So, yeah, it's one of those restaurants where, like, everyone's going to find something they like. The food's always going to be solid. It's never going to be terrible. Like, it's never going to be amazing. It's never going to be terrible. But that's definitely a good one where it's, like, family sitting down at the booth, eating, you know, eating dinner and just kind of have a nice time at TGI Fridays. So
Isn't it called Fridays now?
Is it?
I don't know if it's called TGI Fry because I remember saying something one time and I just saw like a remodel of one and said Fridays.
Well, this one, maybe just on the sign, but yeah, this all still says TGI Fridays on it.
Oh.
So yeah, I mean, founded in 1965 in New York. You know, again, there's not any specific thing where I'm like, oh, this. I mean, they tend to have pretty good happy hours and things like that, I will say.
Right.
But there's no, like example, there's no, like, Bloomin' Onion type thing at TGI Fridays where it's, like, a signature thing.
Yep,
but I still think it's, like, you're gonna be able to have a decent meal at TGI Fridays, and it's a good, like, family type place, too. So that's,
well, it's like,
that's
it,
my
it's TGI Fridays and Ruby Tuesdays.
Right, that's another one.
Like you said,
yeah. So you're in that realm, so.
I have a Ruby Tuesdays gift card. No idea where I'm going to use
idea.
It. No idea
where
it is.
There was one in Sterling for a while. I don't think that still exists.
There was an Applebee's in Sterling.
I'm also thinking of Friendly's. Remember, that was in Sterling, too.
Yeah, that was now it's a Bojangles or no, that's now it's a Patient First or something like
right,
that.
Right, yeah.
And a Patient and a Bojangles.
Every time I go in there, I'm waiting for them to give me ice cream, you know, and they never do.
But yeah, there was a Ruby Tuesdays in Leesburg, and I got a gift card there one time, and it was just because I won like a raffle, and I'm like, there's not one for the next like 30 miles. So I'm not gonna go to
Ruby Tuesdays. So that rounds out the draft. Again, we'll be putting up the graphic on Twitter at the DC Crossover. Please vote, and it will be on TikTok, DC Crossover Podcast. Mike will put that up there and do a poll, so you can vote for your favorite team. This is pretty much 50-50 in my eyes because I think these are two really solid squads. Again, Mike has Red Robin, Texas Roadhouse, Hooters, Famous Dave's, and Silver Diner. My team is Olive Garden, Outback Steakhouse, Cracker Barrel, Waffle House, and TGI Fridays.
I was gonna go with IHOP, but I said no.
I thought about IHOP too.
I wanted to say Don Pablo's, but it's not
the
area anymore.
Yeah, I used to love Don Pablo's. Yeah,
Don Pablo's was our family go-to.
Yeah, some other honorable mentions that didn't didn't make the list that are just on some other lists out there. Red Lobster, right. P.F. Chang's. You had Buffalo Wild Wings. We talked about that one already. Let's see. We said Red Robin. Bonefish Grill. Some people have there.
I'm shocked you didn't have a wing place on there.
Yeah, I know. That's true. That's true. But you can get wings, you know, any of these little restaurants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Olive Garden, we already said Olive. Cheesecake Factory was possible just because I do. I mean, it is some of the best dessert you can get for sure. The food itself is always okay, but the dessert is where you go. I mean, for Mother's Day, we got Cheesecake Factory, and I was there for, it felt like an hour and a half just trying to pick up my food. It was unbelievable because they don't take reservations, so it's nuts there. All right, so we aren't going to be doing the Sultan of Seltzers today because we're a little short on time, but we will be doing that next week, so we'll be sure to tune in for that. We will hit up, however, the final lap. Chance to go over some of the bigger stories in sports. 90 seconds on the clock. Here we go. Matt Fitzpatrick wins the U.S. Open. I did watch almost all of Sunday's coverage. First major win for Matt Fitzpatrick. Obviously hit that huge shot out of the bunker and played really well. This could be a kid of the future, Mike.
Yeah, the U.S. Open was very, very tough this year. And I was invested for the most part, but I'm not a really big, huge fan of the types of majors that go, the winner gets like, you know, 4 under or something like that. I'm not a big fan of those. I like the ones that are in between 10 and 15 under where you have to shoot a low score, but it's very hard to shoot. I don't want people to have a terrible score to get out of it. I'd rather someone shoot a low score to win it.
Yeah, the course was tough. Again, Rory had another shot at this one and still wasn't able to get it done. And that's his legacy at this point. Pirates rookie Jack Sawinski becomes the first rookie in MLB history with a 3-homer game that includes a walk-off. Pretty wild there for the Pirates.
Pretty wild that the Pirates have someone that can do that.
Yeah, didn't
he? That's the biggest thing.
You got to get your Jack Sawinski jersey, Mike. Andre Burakovsky did not travel with the team to Tampa after getting injured in Colorado's 7-0 win in Game 2. A lot of injuries piling up here for the Avs.
Yeah, they're still up 2-0 right now going into Game 3 tonight. But Andre Burakovsky, our old friend.
Our old pal. And Steph Curry wins his 4th NBA title as the Warriors take down the Celtics. The legacy lives on here for Steph Curry. Again, he's got to be in the conversation. Not for the best ever point guard, but I feel like he's got to be in the conversation as one of the best point guards ever, especially winning his 4th NBA title.
Well, I would think at the end of his career, he would be revered in that entire state, but also talked about as, I would say, I wouldn't say, like I said, I wouldn't say one of the best ever players, but I would say he would be in the top 20 of all time because of his stat categories, what he's won, and also leading those teams for the most part, because on a dynasty team like this, now I don't know if you're really going to call him dynasty now. We'll see how Clay does for the future, but overall, he's a leader of that team. Yeah. Now, you say, you know, Scottie Pippen's one of the best ever players, you could say, but Michael Jordan was the leader of that team. You know, you could say Kyrie might, whoever, at one point, is at the end of his career, might be one of the best point guards ever in the top 15 point guards or whatever you want to say, but LeBron was the leader of that team. So you're seeing, right. You know, if you're the leader of a really great team that has great players on it, it's different. So yeah. I just think when you're looking at it, Steph is going to be, I think, easily in the top 20 players of all time. But I don't think he's going to be in the conversation, possibly in the top 10. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Hey, he could win a couple more rings. You never know.
Good.
We're going to do a little trivia here before the end of the show and before we get to the money line, a chance to give you some trivia opportunities for those fans at home. Again, answer the questions at home if you'd like. We do a Detroit sports trivia question and a DC sports trivia question. It is Mike's turn to go first here to read me a DC trivia question.
All righty. So the DC sports trivia question.
I usually get them wrong.
The week. You do.
I've been cold.
But sometimes you started off really strong.
Yeah.
So here we go. This might be a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, it's okay.
So here we go.
Yeah.
What two longtime Redskins were part of the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2008? Now, I will say, I will give you a hint.
Yeah.
It's not really a hint, but they're not like, this random Joe Schmo that played in like the 60s or whatever that you don't know their name. So they are well-known.
Yeah, so they're like more well-known guys. So I assume they played like in the like the late 90s, early 2000s?
I would range it from 80s to mid 2000s.
And they would have just made it into the Hall of Fame in 2008. I mean, yeah, this could go all over the place. is it, well, Mike, I mean, is it a guy like Joe Theismann? Like, is that when he got in?
You got a question. Give me a question.
Okay, is it Joe Theismann one of them?
No.
Okay. I'm just going to name Redskins players. Is B. Mitch one of them?
Nope, not a friend of the show.
Yeah. Well, okay, my question will be, is one of the, like, is a quarterback one of them? Like, is it a quarterback?
No.
No, so no quarterbacks.
And no offensive linemen, so you don't have to worry about offensive linemen.
That's good. So no hogs there. I mean, yeah, this is just going to be impossible for me. I just give me the answers. I don't even have guesses for you.
Okay, the answers are Daryl Green.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Daryl Green and Artie Monk.
Art Monk. And Daryl Green. Daryl Green. Good. Good.
Darrell.
Good for them. Good for them.
good for them.
Since 1953, Mike, Michigan and Michigan State's football teams have competed for what rivalry trophy? What is the trophy called for Michigan and Michigan State football?
Is it, my question is it something like the Commonwealth Cup? Like, is it something to deal with, like that Tech and UVA have?
I mean, it's called, I
like
mean.
Is a weird name kind of like that?
It's a weird name, yeah, but it's not, it's named actually after a figure, like a person. They could be a fictional person, but a person.
Fictional?
Yeah.
Are we kind of weird?
Well, I don't think this person actually existed.
You got any hints besides the fictional person?
yeah. So it's a folklore hero.
Honestly, when you say it, I'll probably know it, but I'm
it's
in a blank right now.
Paul Bunyan Trophy. The Paul Bunyan Trophy. The trophy has a little like Paul Bunyan and a stump or something like that, and that's the trophy. Don't ask me why. That's the trophy.
I probably should have got it, but I knew it was something like weird, like that.
Something weird. You got it. let's hit up the money line. A chance for us to give you some terrible picks. Mike
terrible,
leads
so bad.
Mike leads by one right now, but we both had 0-2 weeks. I think it was both of us went 0-2.
So bad.
So nothing changed there. Let's see if our luck changes. It probably won't, but we'll see. As we almost near the end of this round, I think we've got maybe 2 weeks left of picks, and then we're at the
fight to the finish.
We're at the end, and then thank God, and then we get to start a new round. All right, my lock this week, I'm going Notre Dame baseball minus 1.5 versus Texas A&M. I believe that game is tomorrow. Notre Dame seems to be the team of destiny right now. Again, they knocked out Tennessee. They won their first game. I mean, they're killing it. So I'm going Notre Dame minus 1.5 against Texas A&M. And my dogs, I'm just going the Avalanche plus 1.5. You know, I guess with the injuries and things like that, and this going, obviously being on the road now, that's why the line is what it is. But I mean, the Avalanche just won 7-0, did they not? I'm going to go Avalanche plus 1.5.
Yeah, I was honestly going to look at both of those picks, to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie. I do like both of those. My lock is going to be over 1.5 goals in the first period tonight.
I like
in that game. Andre Vasilevsky, now I'm probably jinxing it right now. He's been playing pretty bad.
Yeah,
7
he's
nothing.
Not been
ridiculous.
Himself, that's
and,
for
mean,
sure.
Just overall, he has not been himself, like you said. So over 1.5 goals in the first period of tonight's game. And my dogs, I'm going to go MLS. I think the DC United are going to win overall outright against Nashville FC. Nashville FC hasn't lost in their last 4 matches. They went draw, win, draw. DC United, not that great. So I'm hoping that DC United kind of get off the schneid here a little bit and beat Nashville in my dogs for the money line. Take the money line. That'll get you plus money.
Those are our picks sponsored by DraftKings. You can go bet those right now on the DraftKings sports book. Again, we remind you, check out the TikTok, DC Crossover Podcasts, and, of course, check out Bird's Eye View, the podcast that we produce and edit with Erica McCall. And follow the show on Twitter at the DC Crossover and at Cerrone16. Again, follow the Twitter because we'll be putting out the graphic in the on the TikTok as well. So you can vote for which team you feel like did a better job in this draft. This was a really solid draft, I will say. I think we have both some awesome teams here, and this is making me very hungry. And I already ate dinner, and I'm hungry right now. that about does it. And next week, again, we'll be doing some Wizards coverage here. We might even have Chase Hughes join us. We'll see. That's not confirmed yet, but hopefully we can get him on the program and talk a little Wiz Boys. That's what they call them,
Wiz
right?
Boys.
The Wiz Kids. That's what I meant to say instead of Wiz
the
Boys.
Wiz Boys. Just,
yeah, I don't know. I'm tired. it's a Monday. That is Mike Cerrone. I'm Ben Simpson. We will see you next time. This has been another episode of the DC Crossover.